We're going to be talking about something that I know initially, as soon as you see the screen, many of you are just going to kind of go, oh. We're going to talk about church membership. It's going to be much better than that. But here's my thesis this morning. That intentional followers of Jesus Christ, and for those that are new to Summit, when you see IFJC, it's an acronym, or it stands for Intentional Followers of Jesus Christ, okay? Intentional followers of Jesus Christ are participating members of a local church. And I want to show you this morning something that many of you may not have understood, and that is this, that biblically, intentional followers of Christ are church members. They are not merely church attenders, avoiders, hoppers, or shoppers. It's subtly very quiet in the room. Followers of Jesus Christ, biblically, are not church avoiders and not merely attenders, nor are they hoppers or shoppers. Now, I get this. Let me just give you this caveat. I get it when you move into a new area and you got to check out churches. In fact, I would say you need to do that. Try some, but once you make your choice, then you need to lean into that church. When we first moved to Ontario, my mom and dad, sort of, when they came back from being overseas, and they moved here to Toronto, one of their friends said to them, it's great living in the city. I can go to different churches every Sunday. It's just like a smorgasbord. And so they asked, well, do you attend or are you a member at a particular church? They said, no, I don't need to. You got a smorgasbord of churches. And I want to show you today that while you're not hogtied and you know, chained to one church, please understand, we're not into that type of control. However, biblically, you will see that in the New Testament, followers of Jesus are church members. And I want to show you, because many of you in the room have said at one time, or you know people who would say, I don't need to be a member of a church. I'm already part of the body of Christ. So we're going to learn about that today. And I would just say this, gently but firmly, that attitude is patently out of step with God and His Word. Stanley Grenz, great theologian here in this country, wrote in his book, Created for Community, coming to Christ entails belonging to a people. It does not mean just believing truths. It means belonging to a people. I'm going to build this case, and I want to say this, that the front part of this message in point one is going to by far be more than half of it, okay? So don't worry about the rest. We'll fly through that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, if I want to read to you, there's a couple of verses. You can throw them up when I hit those verses, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's start at verse 12. I'm going to read this. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, well, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chooses, or as he chose. If we were a single member, then where would the body be? And as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow greater honor on them. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. The word of the Lord. I want to keep moseying on here and make this statement, again from Grenz's book, that in the New Testament, the idea of a self-sufficient and isolated Christian was inconceivable. What we see today in North America is a North American attitude or a Canadian attitude about self-sufficiency, independence, that was unheard of among Christians in the New Testament. So, what is church membership? Well, it's the visible, tangible expression of the invisible spiritual reality. You see, positionally, we are members of the body of Christ universal. When we trusted Christ, we were baptized into the entire body of Christ of all time, past, present, here, and all around the world. That's the church universal, or the church invisible, or the church global. Experientially, we are members of the body of Christ local, visible. And church membership is a meaningful commitment to follow Christ together in a local church. And I want to show you this in my first point as we move through answering this together. As followers of Jesus, we commit to God's will to do a few things. And here they are. As followers of Christ, we commit to God's will to identify with and belong to a local church. Now, I want to tease this out for you and help you to see, especially when you hear those that say, well, I'm part of the body of Christ, and it's not necessary. The Bible doesn't teach that. We're going to look at this. In the original language that the scripture was written, church is the word ekklesia. It means a gathering of called out ones. Church was a specific group of believers in a particular location. I'm going to show you this in a second. But I want to say this and be honest with you. You won't find the term church membership, nor some of its processes that we seem to have here in North America today. I'm not that naive, and I wouldn't push that. However, the concept is implicit and was deeply cherished by most New Testament writers and Christians. Believers in the New Testament clearly identified themselves and were identified with a specific church in a particular region. Now, just because the term church membership is not found in the scripture the way we understand it, That doesn't mean that it's not valid. For example, how many in this room believe in the Trinity? God, one God in three persons. You will never find the word Trinity in the entire scripture. So if you applied the same logic, just because church membership isn't mentioned in the Bible, to the Trinity, we'd all be in trouble theologically. But church membership is implied, was cherished, and I'm going to argue was actually taught, and you'll see a great differentiation between church local and church global or universal. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, differentiates between the local church gathered and the universal church. He says this, to the church of God in where? Corinth. Corinth was a city, very specific city. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, now catch this, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of Lord Jesus. Here he shows that he's addressing a specific local church, the church in Corinth, and then he identifies everyone else that also believes and has been sanctified with Christ. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 4. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Now, you'll notice there he doesn't say part of the church gives thanks as well. He says all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. The churches of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. Notice, these are not called parts of the church. He doesn't say part of the church that's in Asia and part of the church that's in their house. No, they are the churches in Asia and the church that meets in their house. If you do the research into the scriptures, here's what you're going to find in the New Testament, that the primary emphasis in the New Testament is on local, specific, locale church. In fact, of the 119 times ecclesia or church is used in the New Testament, 90 times it refers to a specific geographical local church, a specific group in a particular location. We spent an entire season looking at the book of Revelation, and in chapters 2 and 3, we read these at the beginning of every single letter to the church. What did it say? To the angel of the church in Ephesus. Right. Has a message for that church. Did the same thing in Smyrna, in Pergamum, in Thyatira, in Sardis, in Philadelphia, in Laodicea. Now, why am I belaboring this morning? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Because some Christians, and I would say gently but firmly, wrongly understand or assume that the New Testament speaks of the local church most of the global universal church most of the time. And therefore draw the mistaken conclusion that they do not need to be a member of a local church. As I've said already, I'm already part of the Big C church. Church membership is a man-made bureaucracy, and I don't need to participate in it. And what's fascinating to me is that many people would actually even use, under the guise of their spiritual maturity, to rationalize their non-participation in membership of a local church. Now, I understand that some have been incredibly hurt in churches. I also understand that there have been power abuses, misuse of funds, sexual scandals, political infighting. I get that there's been stuff like that, bad experiences. But just because we have a bad experience with a cellular character or carrier doesn't mean that we stop using our iPhones. There are issues to work through. There's no question they're real. And I would encourage you to do that. And I understand that. But to use something that happened, some of you in the room, decades ago, as your present excuse to not engage and be a participating member of a local, specific, particular group or church, I would want to walk with you to understand more fully and guide you to actually make steps towards dealing with what was in the past, because it is robbing you of your present engagement, and I would argue your biblical prerogative to be a participating member of a local church. People in the New Testament were identified with local churches. And as followers of Christ, we commit to God's will to identify and belong with, to identify with and belong to a local church. Now, you may be visiting here today, and I'd say, so glad to see you. I'm glad you're here. You can worship with us anytime. But you need to find a particular group in a particular location where you sink your roots down and lean into that church and serve as a member of that particular body. Some of the rest of the points this morning are going to show biblically what it meant and what was incumbent upon all of the people that were identified with a particular or a specific location of a church. And it's going to help strengthen all of this together when you'll see it all at the end. As followers of Jesus Christ, first of all, I just want to say this. Do we understand that throughout the New Testament, most of the time he's actually talking about specific location, church? And it was expected. It was practiced. We could go through in ancient literature a thing called the Didache, which is the very first worship manual after the early church fathers in the church. And it very clearly talks about membership in the church. So just to say, it was never a part of it, it's just man-made today, that's patently not true. There were very high expectations. All the way through church history, there's been some incredibly high standards to be a part of a local church. Have some added to that unbiblical things? Have they, you know, twisted certain things? Yes, I'm sure they have. But to say that it was not part of the church, I trust this morning that you're hearing or understanding that perhaps it wasn't such. Secondly, as followers of Jesus, we commit to God's will to be served and to be served by and submissive to local church leaders. Now, it's always dicey for a preacher to talk about this. It seems so incredibly self-serving. However, if you're going to look at the whole counsel of God, we have to understand that the Bible is pretty clear. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders. Now, when he's talking here, the whole New Testament is identifying things like in Ephesians 4, pastors and prophets and teachers. He's talking in Timothy and Titus about overseers and elders and pastors and bishops and all of that. Deacons. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to them. No, it says that would be at no advantage to you. So let me ask you a question again, coming back to church universal, church local. Who do you submit to? Every leader in every church in the globe? Who do I, as a church leader, and who do the elders of this church, who do we, we're going to have to give an account, right? Those who oversee will give an account before God. Who do we give an account before God for? Every believer around the world? I sure hope not. No, we will give account for the believers that identify as members of this church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, in 1 Peter 5, we will give an account for what they call the flock under their care, a particular group of people under their care. And this is incredibly humbling stuff for church leaders and for church members. The Scripture calls you, as a member of a church, yes, to be open to the service, to be served by local church leaders, and to be submissive to local church leaders. Again, I get it. If people are spiritually, physically, sexually, financially abusive, do you just blindly do that? No, there's other scriptures that give guidance towards that stuff. But in the general scheme of things, we are to give, you know, we have our leadership, we have to stand before God one day and be accountable for you, those who are members of this church. I don't have to give an account for members at Gary's Church in Valley View, or at Baby Glen, or at Unionville, or at St. John Anglican. You know, I'm glad for that. And you don't have to submit to leaders, church leaders all around the world. The Bible calls you to submit to where you, in a specific location, have become a church member, a participating member. Does that make sense? Okay. The third thing, as followers of Jesus Christ, we commit to God's will to yearn for and yield to local church accountability. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13, we say, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." The Scripture is wonderful that we yearn for and yield to local church accountability. And I'm not only talking top-down, I'm talking peer-to-peer, member-to-member. Because we keep an eye out for each other to ensure that we all remain faithful to Christ. And I'm telling you this, you actually say you yearn for, you long for that kind of accountability? I do. If I start going south in some sort of sin, or if I'm getting crazy in what I'm starting to think or teach, I want the accountability of the local church members and its leaders. Don't you? I'm thankful that the people would be so concerned for my soul that they would call me up and take me for coffee and say, "Jerry, I've noticed something. Do I have a permission to address something with you? Or I see this." You know, I remember in my last church, there were some things that were going on. I've shared with you sort of the false prophetess story. But what I didn't realize that under the surface, I got really angry through that process. And my elders pulled me aside one day after church. They went up to my office and they said, "Can we speak into your life about something?" I said, "You have every right to, and I would like you to." They said, "Jerry, we sense an edge of anger coming through your preaching." I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for guys like Ross Ingram, some of you know him, he's passed away now, who pulled me aside and said, Jerry, you're a brick, but if you don't cover that with some velvet, you're going to hurt a lot of people. I'm so thankful for that. Followers of Christ yearn for and yield to local church accountability. Matthew 18:17 says this. He's talking about if a brother sins, then you should go to him one-on-one. It's that accountability thing, and show him his error, try to draw him back. If he doesn't, continues unrepentant, then you should bring another person or two and go and meet with them and do that. And if they still are unrepentant, here we pick it up. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the, what? The church. Does that mean that we go and tell every church in the world or every church in all of York Region? No. We tell the church to those who become members of a particular church in a specific locale. And if he refuses to listen to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. You know, are you getting a sense that what the scripture teaches about membership in a church, participating membership, flies in the face of individualistic, get out of my grill, Canadian culture? And it's amazing how much, even in the church, we adopt this. And we've gone from, we've seen legalistic church that beat people up and spit them out when they did wrong, which was no way to treat people. But we've gone way to the other ditch now, where no one has the audacity to confront anyone about their sinful behavior. And what I argue is that the Bible teaches that we do this with gentleness and respect and love and care, but there is accountability that we should be yearning for. And when it's brought to us, we should yield to it if it's appropriate and right. Now, the fourth thing, as followers of Jesus Christ, we commit to God's will to fellowship with and participation in local church life. You see, the church is made up of members that are committed to Christ and to one another. And as such, we fellowship with, we love each other, we connect with. I am so thankful. I hear stories from so many people who come here in the first month or so, or people who visit. I have other pastors that visit, or other professors or friends that are in from out of town or whatever. And they say, I can't believe your church. And I said, well, get to know us, you'll see our warts. But it is true that this church has a high percentage of real sort of love and connectivity and appreciation for people. And I love that. And as followers of Christ, we fellowship with the local church and in its life. We pray together. We learn together, we grow together, we serve together, we worship together, we give together, we weep together, we rejoice together, we help each other, we encourage one another. And we offer certain things that'll help all of us, you know, sort of do all those things together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let's consider how to stir each other up to love. You ever think, how can I stir up one another around me to love better, to love more? And we stir one another up to do good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more you see the day drawing near. You see, we stir each other up, we love, we serve together, we meet together, and we encourage together. That's part of what it means to be a participating member of a local church. And the scripture expected it. The error of the church in so many ways is they only do that and they neglect the world around them. And again, in order to deal with that imbalance, people then often jump to the other ditch and say, I'm not going to do anything with the church. It's just going to be me out there in the world. No. And here's the last thing. As followers of Jesus, we commit to God's will to reach out and speak up through local church mission. Together, as a participating member, we reach out and speak up through local church mission. That is, we share the gospel together. We send mission workers together. We feed the hungry together. We care for those who've been trafficked together. We have concern for the poor together. We run Alpha for Lost People together. We do whatever we can together to both collectively reach out, and then as we all then do things like privately sharing the good news, helping guide people to Jesus. So here's a summary slide of what we talked about. That intentional followers of Christ commit to identifying with and belonging to a local church. Not a global church only, a local specific location church. We also commit to being served by and submissive to local church leaders. A participating member, as an intentional follower of Christ, we commit to yearn for and yield to local church accountability. We commit to fellowship with and participate in local church life. And finally, we commit to reach out and speak up through local church mission. That's a little snapshot of what the Bible teaches, expects, was implied, held people accountable to, and that's what it meant to be a member of Ecclesia most of the time. Now, I have a question to ask you this morning, I'm very, very serious about. How will we display the glory of the one who sacrificed his life for the church if we sacrifice nothing for the church? If all we do is come and attend or bounce from church to church to church to church, wherever we feel like it, wherever we want to, only seeking our preferences, engage only when it's convenient, how does that display the glory of the one who gave his life and sacrificed his life for us, the church? You see, Jesus did not die just for you. Nor did he die just for me. Jesus died for the church. And when I hear people say, you know what, I love Jesus, but I can't stand the church, and I don't want anything to do with the church. It's like me saying, hey, you know, I really like you, bud, but I can't stand your wife. The bride of Christ. So as the train's coming up the hill, let me end again. That intentional followers of Christ are participating members of a local church. You were made for the community of the church to show the world the wonder of Jesus. God's given you his love, grace, care, spirit, so that you can be a part of this participating membership of a church and use your gifts and your talents, and you can pray, and your resources, and you can experience fellowship and love and longing. But God's glory is displayed most clearly and more widely, not through your individual commitment to Christ. His glory is seen most brightly, more clearly, more consistently, and more widely through the sacrificial commitment of a local church that is committed to Jesus, to one another, and to his mission. That's when the body of Christ, in all of his glory, is just magnified. When all of the stories come together of our engagements with lost people, when all of us live lives of holiness through the week in our region, when we see and do things together that bring kingdom impact, the glory of God is multiplied through all of us. And together as we give and send and support mission work all around the world, the glory of God is seen more broadly than just what I do in my own life by myself. Does that make sense? Church, you are a part of the church universal. But today, I wanted to center it by saying that you, as a follower of Christ, need to give very serious consideration to becoming a participating member of a local church with all of its blessings, but all of its responsibilities, and not let the church or the culture of our world shape how you live and how you perceive and what you'll be responsible to and give yourself for. You let Jesus Christ and his word be your guide, and you follow in obedience to that, and God will bless you for it. Because membership does you good and strengthens the church. It gives glory to God, and more gets done. The strength of the church isn't, you know, a music program. It's not someone who can speak or not speak. The strength of the church is in its members. And as we engage in our worship and commitment to Christ and his work on this world, that's what shows the strength of a church. Let me pray for us. But before I do, here is your action step. For those of you who are members of a local church, a specific church, I would like this message this morning, my prayer has been that it would strengthen your commitment, that you would lean in, fully participating in every way. And if you're not, if you've been dating Summit, and like every other church, I'm sorry to be that crass. I don't mean to. But at some point, you need to commit yourself to the bride, to a local, visible expression of the bride of Christ. And if that's somewhere else, if you're visiting here today, you do that. If Summit, you're checking out, you think, this is it, and I want to encourage you. You lean in and become a fully participating member of Summit Community Church. And first step might be going to base camp and lean into that. So I want to encourage you, there's your action step. But let me give you one little caveat. Becoming a member of a church does not save you. It's not about getting your name on a roll somewhere. It's about engaging in the life of Jesus as you've received him and become a follower of Jesus. And you declare your allegiance and plant your flag with him and then give expression to that by being a part of his body, a participating member of it. Okay? Let me pray. Jesus, I ask that you would lead each person in this room to strengthen their commitment to your local body, the visible expression of the invisible church. I pray, God, that if there's hurt, if there's history, if there's distrust, I pray, God, that you would lead those in this room to work those things through with perhaps leaders in this church or friends. If for any reason it's just, if I could just gently be, they're just selfishly, they just don't want to commit. They just want to think they have the freedom to do whatever they want, go where they want. not be accountable for their lifestyle or anything like that. Father, would you gently lead them to wherever it is they take up membership? I pray that they would lean into that church, get fully behind it. So heal hurts around it. Deal with selfishness that keeps us away, individualistic attitudes. But most importantly, for most of us, I pray, God, lead us into meaningful membership in your body. And I ask that every person that aligns with Summit Community Church, Lord, that they would flourish. I pray that they would find their place of ministry. They find a place of community. That, Lord Jesus, you would strengthen their faith through the ministries that are offered here. That they would be encouraged. That they would know people have their back if they step out of line. And if they start wandering. Father, forgive us where we haven't done that well. May we all sort of recommit to that kind of fellowship. And I pray that everyone who's a participating member of this church would pray. Oh God, we need everyone who's a member here to pray, to seek your face and pray for the ministry of the church, that real lives get really transformed. I pray, Lord Jesus, that our collective outreach, that we would all do our part in sharing the good news and the love of Christ. If we become members here, Lord, that we would do that, speak up, that we'd let our light shine, that we would do what we can. And Father, I pray, oh God, I pray that we would love more deeply. I pray that we would give generously, that we would take your word very seriously to steward our resources and to give back to you what is rightfully yours, and then to give generously above that because we trust you, because we worship you. Oh, Father, help us not to be users only, to take advantage of your church. Help us to get right in the thick of things in every single way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.